We're gonna talk about plugging into the power tonight. A couple Wednesday nights ago, when Cindy and I were down in Texas, Scott filled in and had a good theological lesson on dunamis. So I want to do a little follow-up on that in terms of plugging into the power. How many of y'all know that you can have all the power in the world, but if you're not plugged in, of what benefit will that power be to us? Not very good, will it? In fact, some of us found out when the power was shut off a couple days ago, didn't we? Oh yeah, we couldn't even get in through the garage doors. Our electronic door openers weren't working, so she had to crawl through the garage window and got bruised up, and I did not hit her. She got bruised up in the process, but we got in, thankfully, and now we have keys. Thanks, Brother John Bob. All right. So the story's been told about this guy, that he was an appliance enthusiast. If you can imagine that, someone that was all stoked about buying the latest and greatest in appliances. And it came time that his refrigerator had seen its better days. And so he went out and he bought the latest, greatest, what did they used to call in home improvements with Tool Time Tim? Was it Benford 2000 refrigerator? Remember that? The Benford 10,000? All bells and whistles. It would shut off the lights, do everything but shut off the lights at night and take the dogs out. So it was souped up and he was so excited to use it. So he went to the grocery store, bought all kinds of food, and he stored it in his new refrigerator. And so he went to sleep that night, and the next morning he runs to the refrigerator expecting this great deal that he got. It's so beautiful looking. It did everything. Gave you all kinds of ice cubes, okay? Gave you the crushed ones. It gave you the diced ones. It gave you half and half of anything like that. All that wonderful stuff, and he opens the doors, and there's a horrible odor coming out of that refrigerator. And he looks closely and he sees that there is some kind of fuzzy growth on his meats and on the vegetables. They are turning all kinds of color of brown instead of green. And he is beside himself, so he gets the owner's manual. He wants to know why this refrigerator is not working after he dumped thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars into it. So he's rummaging, paging through, rifling through his owner's manual with the refrigerator, and he sees, well, yeah, I pushed this button, I pushed that button. And then he finally, a couple hours of going through that manual and not getting anywhere, he finally gives up. He looks up the 1-800 number for the appliance, and he's going to talk to a human being about why this mighty expensive refrigerator is not working, the Benford 10,000 refrigerator, okay? And so he gets someone on the line, and so this person on the other line is walking him through, have you checked this, have you checked that? And they go through this exhaustive checklist of what he has to do to make sure that this refrigerator is running the way it was manufactured to run. And finally, the person on the other line just gave up, and that person said, sir, have you checked to see if the refrigerator is plugged in? Well, let me do that. He goes behind the refrigerator, and guess what? It is not plugged in. He plugs it in. All of a sudden, the lights come on inside, and there's no sound to it because it is so smooth running, that refrigerator is, that he finally rejoices that he is getting to benefit from that refrigerator's bells and whistles. Now, aren't we a lot like that refrigerator? Who would agree with me this evening that we can learn all about dunamis power? We can talk all about dunamis power, but if we're not plugged into that power, that all the good stuff in us will begin to spoil? Amen. That will preach. Right? All the stuff in, like all the stuff in the refrigerator, the veggies, all that good stuff, begin to spoil all the good stuff in us. The good characteristics, the Christ-like characteristics, will begin to spoil if we're not plugged in, right? So tonight we're going to talk about plugging into the power. How do we plug into this power? You know, I've learned and I've heard so many wonderful lessons. Scott had a wonderful theological lesson on dunamis. It was great. And I've heard a lot of them throughout the years. But really and truly, church family, can we keep it real? Who would agree with me that as we look through the landscape of Christianity, there are more Christians, present company excluded, that are not plugging into the power than those who are plugging into the power? And yet the power is there all along, right? Who would agree with me? I mean, I don't need to reteach what Scott did. I couldn't teach it as good as he did. He did a fantastic job. But there's power. There is power. Now the question is, if knowledge of that power, will that get me the results I want in my Christian life?
No.
Just because the guy had the refrigerator brand new, right? He had to plug it in. We too have to plug in to that power. Turn in your Bibles, please, since this is Bible study. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And we're going to talk about this. Like I said, there are many believers, far too many, that don't plug into the power than do. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read one verse of scripture. Verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power. That Greek word for power there is dunamis. We get our English word dynamite, explosive power. You will be endued with power from on high. Now, does somebody else's translation use the word clothed?
Yes.
Okay, what is that, the New International Version?
Yeah.
Would you mind reading it, please, loudly?
I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.
Nice. There you go. So, how close is this power to us? We're clothed with it, aren't we? It's within us. All that we need to live an effective Christian life is all within us, right? Even as that souped up refrigerator had all the qualities that it needed to refrigerate food, it had it within it. We have it within us, but many do not plug into the power. Okay, can we go there a little bit? Can we talk about some of our personal weaknesses? Can we talk about maybe into, you guys are like, personal weakness? No, we're not going to talk about yours. Pastor Joe, you talk about yours. You know, we all have personal weaknesses. I have besetting sins. Every single one of us here have besetting sins. Amen? Who's ever driven a car? I mean, you know, nowadays I get my tires rotated every 5,000 miles so that, you know, virtually when I'm driving, I can kind of get my hands off the steering wheel and it'll keep driving straight, won't it, Brother John Bob? But what happens if I don't get those tires rotated? It begins to veer off, right? Don't you think that in our lower nature, we all have tendencies to veer off the straight and the narrow? Just kind of have that little pool. Have that little pool over here, have that little pool. And we don't have, thankfully, that crazy mechanism that highfalutin car that Cindy and I were in Texas and in New Mexico. It doesn't automatically push you to your lane and keep you there. I'm like, who does that? That was one demon-possessed vehicle. I'll never want that kind of upgrade. We were in the settings, weren't we? We're trying to disable all the stuff, but no luck. So we all have weaknesses. Now listen carefully, church family. Knowledge of dunamis, will that help me with my weaknesses? No. Right? I've got to know how to plug in to the power. So this night, I want us to talk about dunamis in 4D. So prayer, dunamis rather, power in 4Ds. All right, so for me to plug into the power, number one, I have to have a desire to plug into the power. Right? Who has found out that with the Lord, in our relationship with God, just because God offers blessings does not automatically mean that we will walk in those blessings? Right? We have to desire to walk in those blessings. Go with me to Mark chapter 11, please. Mark chapter 11. There's a great, great power in desire. Who would like to read verse 24 of Mark 11, please?
For I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.
Okay, you have to ask. Brother John Bob, would you read yours, please? Yes, sir. Right. Okay, so we have to ask. We have to have a desire for something before God will give it to us. Am I right? Is that fair enough to ask? We have to have a desire. Listen, desire is a powerful thing, but desire alone cannot get us plugged in to the power. We have to want to. Listen carefully, church family. We're going to get very practical here. We're going to have to want to desire something, and the power of desire can take us far places if it's coupled with the other three D's. Let me say here, who has discovered in life, I think we all have by now, that change is painful. Right? Listen, I've discovered that change is so painful, people will not change. Who's discovered that some people are willing to put up with a lot of cruddy situations in life so long as they don't change? Because change is the unknown. Can I illustrate it in a real context? You know, when my family and I lived in Kansas, and my older half-sister, she was going off the rails because she's a recovering alcoholic. But back then, it was affecting her home life. It was affecting her kids. It was horrible. And we had to get her into a rehab center for her to be able to get the help that she needed. But let me tell you, she was in denial for the longest time. How many of y'all know you're not going to get the help you need unless you realize, number one, you need help, and number two, you desire to get help? Right? I mean, that's true about a lot of things in life. Right? The pain to remain the same has got to be greater than the pain to change. Why is it that some people say, I'm done with alcohol, I'm getting help? Why is it that some people say, I'm done with cigarettes, I'm getting help? Because the pain to remain the same in that pothole of pain had to be greater than the pain to change. You know, change has got to be a desirable prospect. Right? There has to be desire. I have got to desire something better for myself if I'm going to take the steps to plug into the power. Right? You know, I remember, how many of y'all like my illustrations? Do they make it real? I think people like stories. You know, when I was young, I was 26 years old, and I had graduated already. I had been graduated for a couple of years, and my spouse at the time, my daughter's mother, she was working for the Oral Roberts it was they had a nursery and a very lucrative business that was a part of the Oral Roberts Administrative Center, and she would help, you know, with the babies in that, and the administration decided that all the employees of Oral Roberts University, including their very ministries and businesses, etc., that their spouses, that they or their spouses could receive free tuition from the university by simply working at Oral Roberts. And she came to me and she said, you know what, Joe, if you want to go to seminary, it won't cost you a thing. And I'm like, well, I already have a degree. I'm done studying. How many of y'all know, some of you remember still, studying is painful. Gosh, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says that the learning from many books, to that there is no end. And reading and studying, and I remember the way I studied, I pulled all-nighters. I popped in the pot of coffee at about midnight, and I stayed up till about 5. I napped for a couple hours, and then I showered, and then I went to take the exam. And that, I don't recommend that. That's not... But once again, remember, I have a photographic memory. Some of you are like, I hate you. I don't recommend that, but to me, I was like hem-hawing around about going back, and I remember having a conversation with a pastor in Decatur. He was a pastor back in Oklahoma at the time. Both of us were. And I said, you know, Wayne, Pastor Wayne of the First Christian in Decatur. And I said, Pastor Wayne, this has been offered to me. And he interrupted me. He said, jump on it. Jump on it. Why are you hem-hawing around? He said, you need to take advantage of that. Joe, education is important. So after he gave me that little nudge, I enrolled in all kinds of classes. And about 2 weeks into those classes, I was like, rucker. But I'm telling you, I am so glad I did. I am so glad I did. Because for me, in that particular stretch of life, the pain to remain the same was greater than the pain to change. You know, how many of y'all believe that some of us just need a little nudge every now and again? Because otherwise, we're not going to do anything. No, this is the way I am, and you better accept me for who I am. And, you know, I hear that a lot. I've heard that throughout the years in ministry, and I always look at the person, and how's that working for you? Your wife wants to divorce you, your kids hate you, and you don't want to change? I'm spending too much time on this. Desire. Do you see the power of desire? It's got to start with desire. We have got to desire to plug in to God's power. Incidentally, dunamis is translated by the following word: strength, ability, or power. Okay? Strength, ability, or power. So I have to have desire in my life for something better. Number two, this one's going to be the one that we all love. Discipline. Did I spell that right? Discipline. I think I did. I just finished talking about seminary. I better have. You know, to this day, I have people that text me, no one here that text me that I know have had a master's degree, and they misspell the contraction your, like you are. And they spell it like a personal pronoun, your, Y-O-U-R. And I'm like, I'm a grammar Nazi. So watch what you send me when you text me. Because I'm like, can we talk about discipline? Who loves discipline? You know, sometimes when I think of discipline, I think of me, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I've switched up my workout routine. I'm sure some of you on Facebook can see. That I'm usually at the gym by 5:30 in the morning. I'm done by about 6:15 running. And I don't do that because I just feel a charge to be sleep deprived, because the first mile on the treadmill, I'm like, looks like I'm trying to do the Mambo or something. And I tell myself, why do you drag yourself through this? Why? Because listen carefully, for the principle of discipline, I always want my mind to dictate to my body and not my body dictate to my mind. Can I go there, church family? I think sometimes we pamper our bodies too much. We have to listen to our bodies when we're tired. Yes, I get that. I understand. But sometimes we need to have our minds dictate to our bodies. Nobody said amen. Yes. Discipline is important. Now, listen, let's go turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Is this a good lesson, guys?
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 1. And discipline applies also, you know, if you want dunamis being active, if you want to plug into the power in your life, discipline will get you there. Can I use different words? Desire, let's call desire inspiration. We're going to call discipline perspiration. Anybody can get inspired. Trust me, I see inspired people January the 1st of every year at the gym. And I don't say anything, I'm just thinking, I think I've been too lenient on them. I give them till about March to not show up again. This year, they didn't even beat Punxsutawney Phil. The dadgum groundhog beat them. That's right. Because nobody likes perspiration. But I have to do this. Listen, the illustration is I practice this in my Bible reading. Who, I'm sure this has never happened to you guys, cream of the crop, Locust Grove people, that you're reading your Bible and your mind begins to wander. Oh man, I didn't switch loads in the laundry. It's still, they're going to be dank and smelly. They're still in the washer. I should have switched it. And so I put my mind back on the scripture. And especially when you're reading out of the Old Testament, some of the laws, when I was reading through Leviticus, I was like, oh Lord. But I have to refocus my mind. Who has discovered, church family, that being a believer requires discipline? Right? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Who would like to read verse 7, please?
For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline.
Very good. Very good. I like that translation. Mine says of a sound mind. Incidentally, but of power, that is dunamis. But of power and of love, and it should read better translated, a disciplined mind. Okay? Let's look at the Greek language. I'm going to spell it out for you, the word in the Greek for self-discipline. I'm going to spell it out phonetically. Who would like to take a stab at that word? Get out of the way. Oops. Very good. Sophronismos. Sophronismos. This word, phronis, speaks of mind. This speaks of discipline. So it should read, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of dunamis, of power, love, and of a disciplined mind. Who would like to turn in, we don't all have to turn there. Who would like to turn in John chapter 8, verse 31, and read verse 31 and verse 32 of John chapter 8, please? 31 and 32. Yes, ma'am. If you hold to my teaching. Notice what constitutes a disciple. Someone who just merely listens someone who just merely learns intellectually, or someone who adopts the teaching and puts it into practice in their life? Someone who adopts the teaching, puts it into practice. In other words, Jesus' word, hold, is my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Incidentally, the word disciple comes from the word discipline. Pastor Joe, you had me. You had such a good teaching until you got that to number two. We're going to look at one of the giants on Sunday, the Perizzites. We're going to look at two of them, the Perizzites and the Hivites. And the Perizzites, you'll understand why we need self-discipline, because they're the opposite of self-discipline. Come back on Sunday morning for that. All right, so we have discipline. Let's look at the third one. Three, delight. And these, it's kind of a progression: desire, discipline, and delight. How many of you would agree with me that you have achieved a level of spirituality with the Lord that prayer has become a delight? I can raise both hands. I love to pray. I do. I love to pray. Many times you'll see me out praying with people in public, because not trying to, it's a lifestyle. That's, prayer is that dear to me. You know, I almost wanted to pray with Cindy, and I were getting the car service. We're getting the rear view mirror on our car fixed because of no, it's not that. Sorry, Lisa. We were getting our car service, because in Central Illinois, there is no better deal to get your car serviced and tires rotated for $39 in Lincoln. That's the dealership I go to, and they always keep track of my service things. And Cindy was sitting down, and I walked up because there was a young lady. She looks like she's 16, but apparently she's, 18 or 19 maybe? And it's a skinny little thing and wearing black. And I noticed that she had a necklace, and at the end of her necklace, she had a pentagram. Now, if you've done any study of that, how many of y'all know that that is related to cults and to satanic worship? And because it has 5 points, and if you look at it, the pentagram, and she used a different word for it, but the pentagram, it simulates the head of a goat, okay? And that is what they worship in Satanism. So I asked her, it just took me by surprise that she would be wearing that jewelry, and my first thought was, this young girl has got to be ignorant of what she's doing. And I said, ma'am, I said, is that a pentagram? And she said, oh, and she used a different word close to a pentagram. I've been trying to look it up. I can't remember what word she said. And she said, yes, it is. And she said, I am a practicing Satanist. I said, I was floored. I was floored. So I know I don't have a lot of time to give, you know, I'm handing her my credit card to pay for the deal, but I'm beginning to ask all kinds of questions, am I not? I'm like, so tell me about yourself. And she said, well, I'm transitioning to be a Satanist, me and this guy friend of mine. And she said, I was raised in a Christian home, but we never went to church. And I thought, what big of a difference would it have made if her parents loved Jesus, if her parents took her to church? Come on, somebody, I'm going to begin to preach here. And if she was captivated by the Lord as she is now captivated by the enemy, what difference would that have made in her life? All the difference in the world. Her delight was in the wrong place. After a while, when she found me just peppering her with all these questions, she began to backpedal. Oh, I don't believe in God, or I don't believe in the devil. I'm just a Satanist, and I only wear this to scare people off. I'm like, oh, I don't buy that. you've already tipped your hand. I know what you're all about. That's the first Satanist I've ever met in person. Just an unassuming, sweet little girl. Wow. And I wish at that time that I would have prayed for her. Because prayer has become a delight. How many of y'all have found that the Bible reading can be a delight? I love Bible reading. I love Bible study. It comes alive. How many of y'all have found these giants coming to life? Did you know there was so much in those? It's intense. What the Bible will teach us if we just do a little digging, you know? And so something has got to become a delight. When something is a delight, the discipline is not as much of an issue. We embrace discipline because that on the other side of discipline is what? Delight. It goes for anything in life. Delight. Who has found that the Lord is your delight? You know, I was once in a Sunday school class, and one of the best questions ever asked me as a Bible teacher, as a pastor, was asked by this older lady. She's in her 70s now, and she said, "Pastor Joe, what do you do to feel the scripture like you do? It obviously evokes emotion in you. Is that genuine?" I said, "Darn right. I'm not full of errors. This is what you see is what you get." I said, "I get excited over the word of God." She said, "How can I get that?" You know what I thought? I said, "You got to make the word your delight." Can I pursue that a little more? How many of y'all know that a desire follows attention? What you pay attention to over a prolonged period of time will begin to be what you desire. I remember when my late father-in-law took me out to golf. You know, I had taken golf classes in college at El Paso, Texas, at the University of Texas at El Paso. And that was fun, but because I wasn't good, I dropped it. And then I got married, and my father-in-law said, "We're going to go golfing." Well, I hated it at first, but I kept doing it just to be with him. And after a while, I began to like golfing. I loved golfing. In fact, he and I, we golfed in about 5 different states. Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Michigan, I can't remember what others. But we would go to different golf courses and we'd have a blast. One time I remember, this is when I was young, I was only 24, and I needed glasses, and I was in denial that I needed glasses because I'm nearsighted. And so so I couldn't see far, and he said, "Wait, Joe, there's a guy in the middle of the fairway and he's just dropping balls and hitting them." I'm like, "He's doing what?" I couldn't see anything. I couldn't even see a little blur figure or anything. He's like, "This guy's in the middle of the fairway just dropping balls," which is not, that's kind of rude. That's not, you know, any courtesy to the golfers behind you. And he's just, you had to have known Robert Powell. He was not a very patient man. And so he got really mad and he said, "Okay, just go ahead and tee off. This guy's going to play that game. We're going to play this game. Go ahead and tee up." I said, "What if I hit him?" He said, "You won't hit him." Okay. So I'm winding up. "Where'd it go? Where'd it go?" He's like, "It's going straight at him." It hit him. And when we're walking there, he didn't proceed to walk forward. He was waiting for us there and he was cussing us out. And my bravo, brave father-in-law, who was all like Mr. Macho, now is a wet noodle and quiet. "You blankety blank, blank, blankety blank." I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "Joe, just be quiet." I said, "That's not the way you were back there." The point is that when you do something long enough, whatever you pay large amounts of attention to, you will delight. Right? But Joe, I don't have a desire to study the word. I don't have desire for the... Pay attention to it. Use your discipline to pay attention to it. Delight will follow attention. Does that help? Okay? Is this practical? Final one. All of these are powerful in their own right. I think this is probably the most powerful. Would you agree with me? Desperation. How many examples in the Bible do we see of people who are desperate and will go through any lengths to get to Jesus? How about the guys, four friends of their good friend is a paralytic. What did they do to get to Jesus? They tore the roof off of a house, didn't they? I can just imagine Jesus teaching and all the people, all the massive crowd. They couldn't go in through the door because it was so packed. Jesus is teaching calmly, and then all of a sudden you see a little plume of dust, little plume of dust, and then you see little pebbles of dust, and then clods. Boom, 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 boom. Incoming. Right? What about the woman with the issue of blood? Was she desperate? Did you know that she could have gotten in a lot of trouble for being out in public while she was still having that issue of blood? But she risked it because she was desperate. What about the parable of the widow who had no children, had no man to take care of her? And she might have had a child, and she was looking for justice from that unjust judge. And she said, I'm not going to leave this guy alone. I'm going to keep badgering him. He said, and the way the Greek language is, I won't stop till I give him a black eye. Or the judge said, give her justice at once, otherwise she's going to leave me with a black eye. True story, that's the way the Greek. Desperation. Why is it that some believers have more dunamis than others? Desire, discipline, delight, desperation. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for helping us connect with this dunamis. Help us to plug into the power, Lord. Help us to have desire, to have discipline, to have delight, to have desperation, Lord. Lord, you don't only answer prayers. You delight in answering desperate prayers. To your glory we pray. Amen.